buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lime, to your face.
Killing
people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain, they burn the kids, no more things, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. Best little network on the internet, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm your host for the next hour. It is the 22nd of June, yesterday being the first day of summer, longest day of the year. And it was a pretty pleasant day. Today, it was cool and freaking wet this morning. Cleared up this afternoon, got real humid, and now it looks like we're getting ready for some more rain. Anyways, we went up to the reserve today to get some smokes. I like doing that run. Get a kick out of the people up there at the reserve. Nice folks. And we took the lower road back, and there's a provincial park there called McGregor Provincial Park. And so we thought we'd take a ride into the bush. And I see ducks not online right now. And that's unfortunate because I think I upped him one time. He's mentioned several times about the turtle crossings that they're constructing down around Kingston. Because you never know when a herd of turtles wants to cross the road. So we were taking a ride into the park. It's about, I don't know, somewhere between a kilometer and 200 kilometers off the road into the administration office at the park. So we're going down the road and through the bush and see signs pop up that, you know, go slow here because it's a deer, and bike path. And so I would warn the bike riders, you're no match for a deer, so careful. So it was a bunch of those signs, and then we came across this sign which I've never seen before, and I know this is better than duck's stupid turtle crossing. We ran into this big orange sign. It looked like a squiggle mark on it. It's a big orange sign. It's a snake crossing. And we see this thing, and my wife goes, "Who the hell wants to camp here?" You know, what did that say? Break for snakes, or something to that effect, at snake crossing, which I thought was rather cute because in my neck of the woods, I think the most dangerous snake we got is probably a garter snake, which the worst you could possibly do is maybe lick your toe. But it's all about nature, folks. you and I are the problem, and there's too many of us. And, well, you know, we're putting the turtles at risk and the snakes at risk and the moose, because we have big moose, a moose highway now from Algonquin Park down to the Adirondacks, and they keep stealing more land for the moose, even though moose don't migrate. But the average man or woman don't know that, so they can get the kids all worked up about the moose, and it's our fault because, well, we're in the way, and so we'll build a big natural freeway that you're not allowed to go near, so the moose can tour around. And I love that moose thing because they had a moose, I think it was called Lucy, which apparently they found 3 years later or something up at Algonquin Park from the Adirondacks stateside, and which is impossible because the moose don't migrate. So, you know, this is why they need the Moose Highway in case moose and Adirondacks wants to go visit Cousin Charlie up at Algonquin Park, even though moose don't migrate. It's getting to be a very, very bizarre world we're living in. And I'm just going to stay with bizarre for a while. I just come across this. And I just feel a whole lot more American now. It says here, the police at Ottawa Airport can now carry carbine rifles. Police at the Ottawa Airport will now carry carbine rifles as part of their equipment, Ottawa Police announced Thursday. The military-style assault rifles have been part of the Ottawa Police arsenal since 2006, but are only being given to the airport now. The move is essential, of course, to better respond to security threat, Ottawa Police said in a press release. The additional piece of equipment allows us to continue to be prepared, of course, and respond to events that may affect the safety and security of our community and travelers to Ottawa, said Staff Sergeant Atala Sadaka. That doesn't sound like a very European name to me. They're concerned about our safety at the airport. Never was a concern in the past. Our goal is to enhance existing security measures. Mark LaRoche, president of the Ottawa Airport Authority, said the release he supports, he supports the increased weapon presence. Now, if I walk down the street with a, I don't know, a break action, break barrel pellet gun over my shoulder, there's a good chance that I'm probably going to get taken out. Because, well, it was a threat. It's nothing until you pull the trigger. And a pellet gun, you're going to have a hard time really injuring somebody with. But they just see it's a gun. Oh, my God. Now, again, when I was in grade 9, which is a considerably long time ago, we had a rifle range in our school in a basement. You know, we had two decks with the pads. And the guns were all laying around. The ammunition's laying around. Nothing's locked up. And we were encouraged to be good shots. Now kids are being thrown out of school because they drew a pistol on a piece of paper. And somehow that threatens the entire school and the teacher. And on numerous occasions, stuff like this, they've called in basically police, SWAT teams, whatever, locked the place down because this. And then they want to know where they saw this. Well, I don't know any Blood and Guts movie, which is most of them, you know. Does your daddy have a gun? You know, because we're going to have to blow his house up if he does. I mean, this is over the freaking top. But I'm going to throw this. This is a nice looking piece of weaponry. I don't know that I can go to an airport anymore because when I went to the courthouse in Newmarket for Michael Schmidt's injunction case, and when I walked in the door and saw the scanner, and you have to walk through And, you know, this rope thing you got to walk around, and then you got to empty your pockets and all this stuff. I mean, I got them pretty excited. They didn't have any carbines because I just walked in and said, geez, I thought I was in the Newmarket Courthouse. I didn't realize it was in an American airport. And that got them really jacked up and angry quick. And but they didn't have this kind of equipment to really give me a very difficult time. So, you know, if you like guns, you may admire this one. I'll stick it in here. And if you're listening, you can go to CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, otherwise known as the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and take a look at this. You know, the only gun that I ever shot that I really liked too, you know, I really liked that. That thing was so freaking accurate, it was nuts. And it had a clip, something like this clip, but of course that clip's illegal for me to have, or the gentleman owned the gun to have. Actually, it was his uncle's gun from the Korean War, I think it was, and it was M16. And man, I can't believe how accurate that thing. I've shot a lot of guns, but I ain't never shot anything that accurate before. That thing was absolutely freaking amazing. And a lot of fun, but maybe I can get a job at the airport now. Who knows? But I put that on. Damn. One of these days, you know, I'm going to redo my chitango here so that I don't have to fill in. There you go. Anyways, take a look at it. It's a pretty nice gun. Now, I'm not a gun expert by any stretch of the imagination because, well, I live in Canada and we can buy pellet guns. I kicked a cop in the nuts once a long time ago and got busted for some weed when I was like in my teens. So apparently I can't have a gun. You know, I do have a pellet gun, six-shot pellet gun, which is, I can't remember what that, Magnum 45 or whatever they're called. Pretty nice little gun. It's a replica, but it's only a BB gun, an air cartridge BB gun. Now, if I strap that on my hip and walk down the main street, they even put a warning label in the box. Don't walk down the main street with a sucker, right? You may not make it home. And that's what we've fallen into, this constant and complete fear. Everything's about fear. Nothing has anything to do with reality. It just has to do with fear. And all the cops ever have to do is say, I felt threatened. Well, when you think about that, that's a little odd. You felt threatened? You know, now even when I'm talking to government agencies, right, and you're trying to get at them a little bit, they'll say, you know, I'm going to end this conversation because I feel threatened. I'm on a telephone, you twit, you know, or I'm not comfortable. They make just all these little excuses. So this idea that the police can just blow you away and say, well, I felt threatened. I don't know how many stories I've read of kids with pellet guns or young adults with pellet guns and that, or BB guns, have been killed by these heavily armed police who go, I felt threatened. Well, when you think about that, what do you mean you felt threatened? Either you were or you weren't threatened, and you obviously weren't threatened by some 12, 14-year-old kid with a freaking BB gun. Then you shot him how many times? 912 times. Wonderful. You see, you got to have more than felt threatened. Because if you weren't threatened, and then they flip everything, right? Because I remember way back in the 70s, my brother-in-law and sister were living in kind of a duplex affair, and they'd rented out the basement as well. So there's three separate units in this. And the guy in the basement, I don't know what his problem was, but he seemed a little unstable. And when I first moved to the island, I was staying with them, and I this guy was out in the driveway chanting with a great big hunting knife, right, stabbing at the air, and you go, well, that's odd. And so, excuse me. So, there's just a standard interior door between the basement and where my sister was living. They had a young child, and it didn't look good. So we were heading out to work, and I said, this ain't going to work. So my brother-in-law called the cops. So, you know, they're kind of, well, what's the problem and all this, you know. Nowadays, they would have come in with a huge SWAT team, I suppose, and really freaked everybody out, probably blasted the hell out of the building. But, you know, so we didn't like the idea this guy could, because there's really nothing standing in his way of coming back in and coming up into their unit. And so he called his boss, who brought some rifles down. And so we got couple, three rifles, and the cops roll in. And so we're talking to the cops, and this guy went back inside. So, you know, he said, like, if this guy comes through that door with that knife, he's out of here. And the cops are telling us, you can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? A young child in here, my sister's there. And if this guy comes through the door with this big hunting knife, he's done dinner. Well, you can't do that, says the police, unless he harms you first. Okay, unless he harms you first. So what, when are we supposed to stand here and let him take a swat at us with a knife, and then we can shoot him? Well, yeah, then that would be self-defense. But if you're a cop, it's a different way. I just felt threatened. Like we say, if he comes through the door with that knife, good night. And the cops are telling us we can't do that. But the cops can blow anybody away anywhere they want. All they got to do is say it felt threatened. They don't have to be harmed. They don't have to be injured. They don't have to be nothing, you know. And it's the same, you know, one of the most disgusting things I ever saw in my life was when that young kid, how old was he, 18, 19, whatever it was, on the bus in Toronto a few years ago. And they shot the kid, what was it, 9 times or something? All he wanted to do was talk to his dad. That was it. And he had a little pen knife. And he's on the bus. He's the only one on the bus. He can't go anywhere. There's a horde of cops standing at the bus. But they're not right at the door of the bus. They're quite a ways back. So this kid with this little knife, he can't hurt nobody from there. You know, standing in the doorway of the bus, they blasted his ass into oblivion, killed him there in the doornail. And the cop's excuse is he felt threatened. Well, he wasn't threatened. There's no way that guy could have possibly got from where he was to that cop and actually caused him harm. Well, if you're a cop, you don't have to be harmed. You just have to feel threatened. You know, the cops put their hands all over you. Anytime I grab a cop, they want to charge me for assault. And I always have to explain to them that it's not assault. I'm demonstrating something. And that throws them because they don't get that. You know, I'm not really assaulting you. I'm demonstrating an assault to you. And which I was. So, you know, but they say, well, you can't touch us. Well, then why can you touch me? I mean, what the hell's going on here? And we got to get this nonsense straightened out. Absolutely. Because it just isn't working right. Now, speaking of bizarro world, there's a little Chinese doctor, which kind of kills me because this is a Chinese doctor, and it was Rockefeller and the boys that went over and got the one child thing going in China, and it was also Rockefeller that thought that Mao could have killed a hell of a lot more people would have been a good thing. But now we have we're moving to the realm of three parent babies, and you wonder how that works. Well, a fertility doctor is offering to blend eggs from two women to make three parent babies. The technique is a new platform. How far will it go? I really cannot imagine. For $50,000 US and up, Dr. John Zhang is offering women in their 40s a solution for age-related infertility, swapping chromosomes between two women's eggs, resulting in a child with, technically speaking, three genetic parents. Some of the hopeful mothers-to-be he's screening are in Canada. Zhang, who spearheaded the delivery of the world's first baby born last year from his controversial DNA blending technique, is now preparing to offer the procedure to older women despite their own biologically related babies. We hope to begin cases within the next few weeks, he said in an email to the Post. Canadian women are among those being considered for the revolutionary and some say hugely ethically objectionable procedure. The criteria is straightforward. The woman has to be between 42 and 47. They must have failed at least two rounds of traditional in vitro fertilization and still have their periods. They also have to be prepared to pay 50 to 100 grand. Zhang's three-parent baby procedure was originally presented as a noble goal to prevent women from transmitting devastating diseases to their children. However, the Manhattan-based Chinese-born scientist is now also targeting the lucrative fertility industry, promised to reverse the effects of age on human eggs. His procedure, known as spindle nuclear transfer, involves removing the nucleus, which contains the majority of maternal DNA from one woman's eggs, and injecting it into the egg of a younger donor. The donor egg, stripped of its own nucleus, has what the older egg doesn't, a more useful whatever. And the mitochondria work like miniature power plants, supplying energy to virtually every cell in the body. Evidence suggests that as a woman ages, the energy output of this decreases, meaning less power to fuel cell division after fertilization, making it harder to achieve a successful pregnancy. The new reconstituted egg will conceivably, which conceivably could be decades younger in age than the woman herself, is fertilized with the male partner's sperm, the resulting embryo transferred to the woman's womb. And if all goes according to plan, a healthy baby is born. According to Zan's new startup, Darwin Life is what it's called, as reported by Technology Review last week. Successfully swapping its nuclear contents turns the donor egg into a 98.9% genetic match of the mother, the remaining 1.1% of the genetic material coming from the other woman. Last September, the world's first baby conceived via spindle nuclear transfer was born to a couple from Jordan. The mother was a carrier of a lethal progressive neurological disorder caused by a mutation in her DNA that led to the loss of the other two children. Zhang performed the egg collection and replacement and in the U.S., but the actual embryo transfer itself was performed in Mexico, circumventing American laws, effectively banning the procedure in the U.S. How far it can go, I really cannot imagine. Details of the work, backed by privately funded research, were only revealed this past April. In an earlier interview with the Daily Mail Online, Zhang said the possible applications could be unlimited. Some have raised the specter of genetic enhancement and designer babies using the technology to essentially edit eggs and sperm of undesired traits. This technique is a new platform, Zhang told the Daily Mail. Dalhousie University biochemist Francois Baylis accused Zhang of rushing to commercialize an expensive intervention for which little published evidence exists to support its safety or efficacy. This is unethical, irresponsible, and exploitive, Bale says in an email, adding that there could be unknown harms in the mother, to the mother, the egg, donor, and potential offspring. The chance of failure with inverted fertilization for women over the age of 45 is 98%. She said, at best, and this is unlikely, the experimental intervention might reduce the chance of failure to 70%. This is about selling false hope. Zhang's response to his critics is that most scientific advancements were initially met with skepticism and moral outrage. When the world's first heart transplant occurred in South Africa, the community was afraid the doctor had transferred the soul of one person to another. He said, the first babies born from IVF in 78 were considered an unnatural abomination. We have the world's first successful birth from spindle nuclear transfer, he told the Post. Of course, there is a need for long-term study of that baby and other cases. However, we had 20 years of research before moving to the first case study. Zhang isn't the only three-patient baby technique. Others are experimenting with replacement or augmentation therapy to rejuvenate aging eggs, but Zhang has taken the next step. University of Saskatchewan-based infertility expert Pearson said that as science moves closer to learning how to turn somatic cells on or off, we know that we are very close to being able to make a gamete out of any type of body cell. It's accelerating our evolutionary process in a completely unprecedented way. Right now, we make gametes naturally. Men make sperm, women make eggs. But we put them together, magic happens. We are now starting to understand reproduction at a cellular level, he said. The next step is to say, well, if I can't do this in an egg cell, why can't I make an egg cell? Why can't I make a sperm cell? Why do you have to be female to make an egg? And there are big picture questions. And what Zhang's done is give us another step on the ladder to attacking those big picture questions, Pearson said. While the experiments are being done one person at a time, the effects could be passed through generations. We fix this person's infertility, we change their microcellular structure, and that child goes off and reproduces. What is it they pass on, and what it is that the children pass on is accelerating our evolutionary process in a completely unprecedented way. Well, this ain't evolution, okay? And I have no use for science in reality. Never did. I used to, actually. When I was young, I was quite interested in science, and now that I know what the main purpose of science is, I tend to spit on it because it's not really science, right? But as far as evolution is concerned, this is not evolutionary. I mean, it's the same thing they did with our seed. Okay. Now, if you go back, there's all kinds of documents that were written some years back about having to have a license. This is all about the population problem, having to have a license. Then the government will decide who can and who can't have a child. Now we're moving this along, so we don't need parents. We don't need sperm and we don't need eggs. We'll just create it, and we'll create what we want when we want it, a super slave class, because this slave class that is presently in existence, you and I and everyone else, is waking up to the scam and the chains that are around our ankles, and that we are the slave class. And those people are rising quicker every day, and they want to depopulate the planet, and they want people or slaves that won't ask questions ever. And this is kind of like your GMO seed, okay? This is not evolution, okay? This is changing the entire structure of nature so that it is now not nature. There's nothing natural about a GMO seed. What it is, it's about control. It's always about control. Always was, always will be, until we kind of stand up and change this. What they've done is they've taken control of your food system. Complete and total control of your food system. You know, I go on and take a peeler and peel my carrots, right? And chop them up and put them in the water. But the problem is, it ain't a carrot. It looks sort of like a carrot, but it ain't really a carrot. Okay? And as generations go by, people lose sight of what a carrot is. You see, these carrots are the same width at the bottom as they are at the top. That ain't a carrot. That's something that's been artificially grown. I'm talking to farmers who understand soil and food. And, you know, I had Paul, who's a organic farmer and a raw milk farmer. You know, I told him that, you know, I was reading some stuff years and years and years ago, a long time ago, that with all of this herbicides and pesticides and the killing of the land, that, you know, the value in the food, the nutrition in the food has dropped down to about 60%. And, but that was probably 30, 40 years ago I read that. And he said, you ain't even close now. The nutrition value in food now is so low, it's ridiculous. Okay, they're selling you product that you think is what it is. I mean, try and find a good tomato anymore. Try and find a banana with the proper texture in it. These are just yellow tubes, but they're not bananas. And what these people are farting around here ain't people. Okay, when you start mixing this nonsense together like this, you don't know what the hell you're going to end up with. You know, we're in, what is that, doctor, what's his name? Doctor, the guy in the island, I can't remember, there was a B movie long, long, long time ago, and mixing pigs and whatever, just pigs and people and all kinds of weird shit, end up with this real mess. And this is exactly what we're going to end up with here. Our food's a mess, and now the people are going to be a mess. And, you know, it's about fertilization. Well, wait a minute. You clowns want to get rid of at least 2/3 of the population on the planet. And so why are you mixing 3 separate people together to make 1 child when you want to depopulate the planet anyways? Is it just for the money? Or is it you're hoping you'll be able to someday make what I described earlier? And we've seen movies about that. And I spit on science. I really, truly do. I mean, the whole scientific community has lost its mind, if it ever had a mind. You know, they use, just like the lawyers, they use jargon language. And it's deceptive. And it's used to gain an upper hand. And you're not supposed to question the scientists, and you're not supposed to question the lawyers, because these are the elite, the intelligentsia, and you are the idiots. And so far, they're right. We have been acting as the idiots. We truly have. You know, they hold up their degrees in front of us and go, oh, he's an expert. I'm expert at deception, right? You know, look what they did to the Mexican people. They drove them all off the land. You know, Mexico used to have more kinds of corn you can shake a stick at. Every area of Mexico had a different flavor, a different kind of maize, because it's all local food. So they run them off the land into the cities, where they were quite happy on the land, but it run them off the land. Now they have no way to subsist. And they're in the cities. and they're really having a hard time, so they're looking for a better time, so they end up in the United States looking for a better time. Is it their fault? No. No, it's not their fault. They would have been quite happy on their small farms looking out for their families, but they got run off. Now they're doing the same thing in America and Canada, running everybody off the land. And they are going to supply us with our needed nutrients and our food. Only it ain't food and it ain't nutritious. I read a report somewhere that 1 in 2 people in Canada are going to have cancer. Now, you don't have to delve very far into that to know that's a bad idea. And why would 1 in 2 people eventually end up with cancer? Pretty simple, because it's designed that way, because they wish to get rid of you, and they wish to replace you with something else, and they call it evolution. It's not evolution. It's a massive scam. And we need to come to terms with it. We have got to get our lives back from these lunatics. See, I'm trying to see if I can get a picture of this guy. That's the other thing I find interesting. You know, they have, they've stopped really, for the most part, putting pictures of government people up. You know, so I look up at this Atala Sadaka, staff sergeant, in that last story I was reading about the carbine. And according to this, he makes $136,602.90 a year and taxable benefit of $669.42. And, but no picture of the guy. And I find that a lot. And these guys make pretty good money. You know, I don't see anybody on this list that's making under, well, no, these are all, staff sergeants are making in around 100, average about 130 grand a year, some of 140 some thousand dollars a year. But they need this gun to feel safe. And see this, I'm on this site called Government Data CA. And then the first drop-down list says corporation. That's what it says, corporation. So you hit the drop-down list, and under corporation, you have Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, Mississauga, Vancouver, Calgary, Brampton, Laval, Gatineau, Markham, and all corporations. City Federal Corporation. What do we have here? Provincial Territory. These are provinces. Province, it says. Which is a, by this says, it's a federal corporation. The province, I'm living in the province of Ontario, and it says it's a federal corporation. And according to this, Ontario is a corporation which has 333,191 corporations. And then Quebec, all of the provinces. Then we have cities, which are federal corporations, Montreal, Toronto, Mississauga. So the city of Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, Mississauga, Brampton, Calgary, yada, 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 are all federal corporations. And postal codes, federal corporation. Bloody interesting, isn't it? So, I don't see my wee town in here. And I don't know why. Although Ontario, that might be different. I'm going to throw this in here for people to have a boo at if you're in Canada, but it may even help you if you're, see, it says Toronto, federal corporation, property, under property is Edmonton, Vancouver, Halifax. Well, this is interesting. Let me look at Edmonton for a second, see what comes up here. Edmonton property. This is interesting. Okay, I'm gonna throw this in here. Well, I'm going to throw it in. Let me back up one. I'd like to know who this staff sergeant is who at the airport likes the idea of these carbines at the airport, because I don't know, A-T-A-L-L-A-H, Atala, I don't think is a European name. I don't know what Sadaka is. Neil Sadaka's younger brother? I don't know. But it doesn't sound like I'd like to get a picture of this guy is what I'd like to get. But I'm going to throw this in here. It just gives his name and makes $136,000 a year. He's a staff sergeant, sector of municipal services. And look through these corporation, business, property, Toronto, and other thing here. If you're from Canada, and if you're not from Canada, you may find some connection between it and how you're laid up in America or wherever else you are, because we're all under international law, all of us, and we're all under corporate international law. And this may shine a light on a few things. It may not. I'll have to go through it and see exactly what the hell this one's all about. And that's the nice thing, you know, when you're bopping around. See, most people would have read that story. It was a very short story about the carbine. But you see, I'm always trailing names, right? I want to know who the hell's saying what. And when I see a name that says Tala, which doesn't sound European, maybe it is, I don't know. But by looking up that name, I end up at the data center, which spells out specifically that all of our provinces are corporations and so on and so forth. So that's interesting, and that's important to know. Now, I got this sent to me. Where is that? Here, I got this sent to me, and I actually listened to this, and I sent part of this. Oh, I sent the whole thing to Michael Schmidt because I find it pertinent to what he's fighting. And the reason I find this so interesting, this was sent to me today, and watched part of it. I had to leave. We had to get the reserve, and I watched part of it before we left, and watched the rest after we got back. And I don't know, Jacqueline Figg, who's from England originally, who lives in California now, I guess. And what I like about her is the tenaciousness of her, the no lay down, beat on me all you want, but I'm going to keep asking questions. And I'm going to sort this out. This is the kind of people I really, really admire. What I find very common between these two people, Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer, and this lady is they've both been at this scrap since around 1995. And the government up here and the government down there have been trying to lay her down, as they have Michael up here, all these years. And you can knock them down, but they're going to stand back up again. You can knock them down again, they're going to stand up. It's all about intimidation. It's about getting you to bow down to their nonsense. And it takes a special kind of man or woman to put up with that over that many years and still be standing. And, you know, this is beautiful. At the 29:30 mark of this particular video, Michael Schmidt was found not guilty on all 19 charges based on the idea of private agreement or private contract, of which the justice agreed with, that everyone has the right to enter into a private contract or private agreement without interference from the government. And she brought up a case here, the O'Neill case or something, was a contractor or something, and he let his license lapse and didn't renew it. And this is the same thing they're trying to nail Michael on, is about this, you know, license of the milk marketing board. And he said, well, I'm not part of the milk marketing board. I don't have a license. And therefore your license or your rules and regulations, I don't abide by them because I'm not connected to them. And that was why he was let off on all 19 charges and the private agreement thing. And of course the government, who has the, who legislated the Milk Marketing Board, who has total and complete control, as Kissinger said, control the food, control the people, doesn't want any competition. So they took it to a higher court, which is a tribunal, three judges, and they found him, they took him back, took him back to court. And the government appealed it and found him guilty on 13 of the 19 charges. And then he appealed it, or tried to appeal it, and they wouldn't allow. And so this video, while she, for all these years, has been working away at the idea of no need for a license or registration. And she's done a very good job. And because, see, what happens is that it's the same with Michael. Each time you try to knock us down, you open a new door for us to look into. Instead of being fearful and bowing down, they're wise enough and brave enough to stick their head in that door to see what the hell's in there. And then that leads you to new questions, which leads you looking for new answers. And if you're tenacious enough, you will find the answers. And then you start to turn the tables. And that's how we get back to freedom. That's how we get out from underneath of this false law called legal. Okay? We will never be free. We will never have peace as long as this legalese entraps us and enslaves us. Okay, I mean, the whole thing is a game of deception and force. That's why they call it the color of law and force of law. That they will try to force you, even though their legalese and their legal system is absolutely fraudulent. And she brings this up. She says, you know, I don't like to use the word fraud. I more like to use the word belief system. So they set this system up. And it's like when I'm asking the government to explain, because I always say, well, it's a system. Well, explain the system, please. I have yet to have anyone in government, not from the premier's office, not from the federal level, not from the attorney general's offices, able to or willing to give an explanation or a definition of what the system is. And that's a problem, because they're supposed to be serving us, not vice versa. All we are is a money pit for them. And they're really just a bunch of gamblers, okay? They're the stakeholders, and stakeholder by definition is a gambler, but they're gambling with our lives, our futures, our freedoms, and our money, which is our labor, through the legal system, which makes us surety for everything they blow out the window. At the same time, holding none of them responsible. So she's done a very, very good job. She's a very animated woman. So I'm going to stick this into the chat. And I did send this off to Michael to get him to go through that part of 2930 for a few minutes. Because it would seem to me that we need to get this to the federal side ASAP and blow this province out of the water as far as his milk is concerned. So I'm gonna throw this. This says it was published on June the 16th, 2017. So this fairly new. And give a listen to it. I know most of this stuff, but I heard a few things in there that really perked my interest. Then they have a bunch of codes and everything written in here. Now, while this is California, she actually, you know, explains a lot about the federal side and the state side. And what I put in there when I was looking at that cop's name, and that the Canada data or data CA or whatever it is, source data, it's kind of almost the same thing. Okay. You know, in our constitution, it says that it only applies to, government. And, you know, the province says, well, they have the authority over highways and that. Well, the province is a corporation, a federal corporation. And that is very, very similar to what this lady's saying about California. You got to know what they're talking about when they're using the word state, because in the legal system, these people have a very, very efficient way of changing the meanings of the words. And that's deception, and that's jargon, and jargon is the language of the thieves and the gamblers, I guess. And so I do believe this is, I know it amazes me how these things happen. You know, that thing I put in there, looking for the name, looking for a picture of that cop to see what color he was, or if he was from an Arab country or what, which I will track down, but I don't have time right now. But that leads me to this other site, and it coincides very closely with what this lady's talking about. And sometimes it's almost spooky the way this happens, but, you know, that's what happens when you're researching, right? You know, one thing will connect itself to the other thing. So I'm going to put this in, and, you know, I ask everyone to have a boo at this video. It's, what is it, 54 minutes long. It's well worth listening to. It's, she has a great sense of humor, and I think there's stuff in there that we can all learn and use to our benefit. Because, you see, the whole point is, you know, people say, you know, why do you bother with this? Well, if we want freedom for our nation, which is our people, then we have to do this. We don't have a choice, right? There is no choice in the matter. You know, Shakespeare didn't say, first kill all the lawyers, because he didn't know what the hell he was talking about. All right? And I'm not a violent guy. And so we just basically have to take the authority away from the lawyers. I mean, you look in any government that's being run and see who's in the cabinets. They're lawyers. And who are they hooked up with? They're buddies in industry. And what do? They write legalese, i.e. so-called law, to benefit themselves and their friends in industry. Now, if I'm the head of Monsanto, I got no problem getting a meeting with whoever the hell I want a meeting with. If I'm Joe Average, they got more roadblocks up in front of you than you shake a stick at. You ain't getting there. Well, wait a minute. Aren't they supposed to be working for us? Yeah. Are they? Absolutely not. So we have to change it. And the only way you're going to change it is to step up to the plate and do like this lady's doing and Michael's doing. Okay? And the government is desperate to knock people like this down in order to discourage other people from standing up. So my hat is I have the utmost respect for these people. Why? They're intelligent, they're tenacious, they're moral. That's the big one right there. They are moral. They're moral men and women. And they're going to stand above the legal fiction that was created, which enslaves them, which has got nothing to do with them. And so we have this huge learning curve that we have to help people understand. And she talks in there about it. Oh, shoot, we're out of time, but like pretty much, but she talks about, you know, I'm talking to the government now, and I'm saying, you know, like, if you want me to have this license, send it to me. I'm not paying your fines, okay? Ain't never going to happen. I'm not going to pay reinstatement fee. I'm not paying any of that shit, okay? Because what you did was wrong. It wasn't me that did anything wrong. It was you. Now, if you want to send me a license, fine. If you don't want to send me a license, send me a diplomatic plate. Now, she says about registering your vehicle in a foreign offshore account or to a foreign trust. And once she did that, she's not allowed to use California plates anymore. So it would seem to me that what she did with that foreign trust is in fact became a diplomat. You're a foreign diplomat. And anytime a foreign diplomat comes from one country to another, they are outside these arbitrary administrative law. They're completely outside of it. They're immune to it. So it looks to me that she found her immunity there. And I'm going to listen to that end again. That's near the end a little bit. I'm going to go through that again. But this is what I told government. You send me a license. Don't send me a license. Send me a diplomatic plate if you want, or don't send me anything. Okay? I'll just write my name on the back of the car. Okay? And then you will notify the officers not to bother me. Now, this is, I bought an old Volkswagen Jetta sitting in the driveway here. I'm just waiting to get this all organized as well as I can. I'm not going to beg them, and I'm not going to do a bunch of their legalese shit. I hate that. I can't even read that stuff because it's not a can't read and can't comprehend it. Because it's so criminal, it makes me want to throw up. Why am I reading this stuff? Right? Why am I dealing with this stuff? Because it's all deception. And I don't like deceivers. I don't like people who cheat people. I don't like liars. And that's all legalese is. So it repulses me to even read the garbage. I hear people take Adam.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they mass.